World History, Chapter 34, Section 4, Conflicts in the Middle East. Setting the stage. In the years following World War II, the Jewish people won what for so long had eluded them, their own state. The gaining of their homeland along the eastern coast of the Mediterranean Sea, however, came at a heavy price. A Jewish state was unwelcome in this mostly Arab region, and the resulting hostility led to a series of wars. Perhaps no Arab people, however, have been more opposed to a Jewish state than the Palestinians, who claim that much of the Jewish land belongs to them. These two groups have waged a bloody battle that goes on today. Israel becomes a state. The land of Israel, the land now called Palestine, consists of Israel, the West Bank, and the Gaza Strip. To Jews, their claim to the land dates back 3,000 years when Jewish kings ruled the region from Jerusalem. To Palestinians, both Muslim and Christian, the land had belonged to them since the Jews were driven out around 135 AD. The Arabs, the land has belonged to them since their conquest of the area in the 7th century. After being forced out of Palestine during the 2nd century, the Jewish people were not able to establish their own state and lived in different countries throughout the world. The global dispersal of the Jews is known as the Diaspora. During the late 19th and earliest 20th century, a group of Jews began returning to the region their ancestors had fled so long ago. They were known as Zionists, people who favored a Jewish national homeland in Palestine. At this time, Palestine was part of the Ottoman Empire, ruled by Islamic Turks. After the defeat of the Ottomans in World War I, the League of Nations asked Britain to oversee Palestine until it was ready for independence. By this time, the Jews had become a growing presence in Palestine and were already pressing for their own nation in the territory. The Palestinians living in the region strongly opposed such a move. In a 1917 letter to Zionist leaders, British Foreign Secretary Sir Arthur Balfour promoted the idea of creating a Jewish homeland in Palestine while protecting the rights of existing non-Jewish communities. Despite the Balfour Declaration, however, efforts to create a Jewish state failed, and hostility between Palestinians and Jews continued to grow. At the end of World War II, the United Nations took up the matter. In 1947, the UN General Assembly voted for a partition of Palestine into a Palestinian state and a Jewish state. Jerusalem was to be an international city owned by neither side. The terms of the partition gave Jews 55% of the area, even though they made up only 34% of the population. In the wake of the war and the Holocaust, the United States and many European nations felt great sympathy for the Jews. All of the Islamic countries voted against partition, and the Palestinians rejected it outright. They argued that the UN did not have the right to partition a country without considering the wishes of the majority of its people. Finally, the date was set for the formation of Israel, May 14, 1948. On that date, David Ben-Gurion, longtime leader of the Jews residing in Palestine, announced the creation of an independent Israel. Israel and Arab states in conflict. The new nation of Israel got a hostile greeting from its neighbors. The day after it proclaimed itself a state, six Islamic states, Egypt, Iraq, Jordan, Lebanon, Saudi Arabia, and Syria invaded Israel. The first of many Arab-Israeli wars, this one ended within months in a victory for Israel. Full-scale war broke out again in 1956, 1967, and 1973. Largely as a result of this fighting, the state that the UN had set aside for the Palestinians, never came into being. Israel seized half the land in 1948-49 fighting. While the fighting waged, at least 600,000 Palestinians fled, migrating from the area under Israeli control. They settled in UN-sponsored refugee camps that ringed the borders of their former homeland. Meanwhile, various Arab nations seized other Palestinian lands. Egypt took control of the Gaza Strip, while Jordan annexed the West Bank of the Jordan River. The 1956 Suez Crisis. The second Arab-Israeli War followed in 1956. That year, Egypt seized control of the Suez Canal, which ran along Egypt's eastern border between the Gulf of Suez and the Mediterranean Sea. Egyptian President Gamal Abdel Nasser sent in troops to take the canal, which was controlled by the British. The military action was prompted in large part by Nasser's anger over the loss of U.S. and British financial support for the building of the Egypt's Aswan Dam. Outraged, the British made an agreement with France and Israel to retake the canal. The air support provided by the European allies, the Israelis marched on the Suez Canal and quickly defeated the Egyptians. However, pressure from the world community, including the United States and the Soviet Union, forced Israel and the Europeans to withdraw from Egypt. This left Egypt in charge of the canal and thus ended the Suez Crisis. Arab-Israeli wars continue. Tensions between Israel and the Arab states began to build again in the years following the resolution of the Suez Crisis. By early 1967, Nasser and his Arab allies, equipped with Soviet tanks and aircraft, felt ready to confront Israel. "We are eager for battle in order to force the enemy to awake from his dreams," Nasser announced, "and meet Arab reality face to face." He moved to close off the Gulf of Aqaba, Israel's outlet to the Red Sea. Convinced that the Arabs were about to attack, the Israelis struck airfields in Egypt, Iran, Jordan, and Syria. Safe from air attack, Israeli ground forces struck like lightning on three fronts. Israel defeated the Arab states in what became known as the Six-Day War because it was over in 6 days. Israel lost 800 troops in the fighting, while Arab losses exceeded 15,000. As a consequence of the Six-Day War, Israel gained control of the old city of Jerusalem, the Sinai Peninsula, the Golan Heights, and the West Bank. Israelis saw these new holdings along their southern, eastern, and western borders as a key buffer zone against further Arab attacks. Palestinians who lived in Jerusalem were given a choice of Israeli or Jordanian citizenship. Most chose the latter. Palestinians who lived in the other areas were not offered Israeli citizenship and simply came under Jewish control. The fourth Arab-Israeli conflict erupted in October 1973. Nasser's successor, Egyptian President Anwar Sadat, planned a joint Arab attack on the date of Yom Kippur, the holiest of Jewish holidays. This time, the Israelis were caught by surprise. Arab forces inflicted heavy casualties and recaptured some of the territory lost in 1967. The Israelis, under their Prime Minister Golda Meir, launched a counterattack and regained most of the lost territory. Both sides agreed to a truce after several weeks of fighting, and the Yom Kippur War came to an end. The Palestinian Liberation Organization. As Israel and its Arab neighbors battled each other, the Palestinians struggled for recognition. While the United Nations had granted the Palestinians their own homeland, the Israelis had seized much of that land, including the West Bank and Gaza Strip, during its various wars. Israel insisted that such a move was vital to its national security. In 1964, Palestinian officials formed the Palestinian Liberation Organization, PLO, to push for the formation of a Palestinian state. Originally, the PLO was an umbrella organization made up of different groups: laborers, teachers, lawyers, and guerrilla fighters. Soon, guerrilla groups came to dominate the organization and insisted that the only way to achieve their goal was through armed struggle. In 1969, Yasser Arafat became chairman of the PLO. Throughout the 1960s and 70s, the group carried out numerous attacks against Israel. Some of Israel's Arab neighbors supported the goals organization's goals by allowing the PLO to operate from their lands. Efforts at peace. In November 1977, just 4 years after the Yom Kippur War, Anwar Sadat stunned the world by extending a hand to Israel. No Arab country to this point had recognized Israel's right to exist. In a dramatic gesture, Sadat went before the Knesset, the Israeli parliament, and invited his one-time enemies to join him in a quest for peace. Today, through my visit to you, I ask you, why don't we stretch out our hands with faith and sincerity, and so that together we might remove all suspicion of fear, betrayal, and bad intention? Why don't we stand together with the courage of men and the boldness of heroes who dedicate themselves to a sublime aim? Why don't we stand together with the same courage and daring to erect a huge edifice of peace? An edifice that serves as a beacon for generations to come with the human message of for construction, development, and the dignity of man. Anwar Sadat. Sadat emphasized that in exchange for peace, Israel would have to recognize the right of Palestinians. Furthermore, it would have to withdraw from territory seized in 1967 from Egypt, Jordan, and Syria. U.S. President Jimmy Carter recognized that Sadat had created a historic opportunity for peace. In 1978, Carter invited Sadat and Israeli Prime Minister Menachem Begin to Camp David, the presidential retreat in rural Maryland. Isolated from the press and from domestic political pressure, Sadat and Begin worked to reach an agreement. After 13 days of negotiations, Carter triumphantly announced that Egypt recognized Israel as a legitimate state. In exchange, Israel agreed to return the Sinai Peninsula to Egypt. Signed in 1979, the Camp David Accords ended 30 years of hostility between Egypt and Israel and became the first signed agreement between Israel and an Arab country. While world leaders praised Sadat, his peace initiative enraged many Arab countries. In 1981, a group of Muslim extremists assassinated him. However, Egypt's new leader, Hosni Mubarak, has worked to maintain peace with Israel. Israeli-Palestinian tensions increase. One Arab group that continued to clash with the Israelis was the Palestinians, a large number of whom lived in the West Bank and Gaza Strip, lands occupied by Israel. During the 1970s and 80s, the military wing of the PLO intensified its armed struggle against Israel. Israel responded forcefully, bombing suspected rebel bases in Palestinian towns. In 1982, the Israeli army went as far as invading the neighboring country of Lebanon in an attempt to destroy Palestinian strongholds. The Israelis soon became involved in Lebanon's civil war and were forced to withdraw. In 1987, Palestinians began to express their frustration in a widespread campaign of civil disobedience called the Intifada, or Uprising. The Intifada took the form of boycotts, demonstrations, attack on Israeli soldiers, and rock throwing by unarmed teenagers. The Intifada continued into the 1990s with little progress made toward a solution. However, the civil disobedience affected world opinion, which in turn put pressure on Israel to seek negotiations with the Palestinians. Finally, in October 1991, Israeli and Palestinian delegates met for a series of peace talks. The Oslo Peace Accords. Negotiations between the two sides made little progress, as the status of the Palestinian territories occupied by Israel proved to be a bitterly divisive issue. In 1993, however, secret talks held in Oslo, Norway, produced a surprise agreement, a document called the Declaration of Principles, also known as the Oslo Peace Accords. Israel, under the leadership of Prime Minister Yitzhak Rabin, agreed to grant the Palestinians self-rule in the Gaza Strip and the West Bank, beginning with the town of Jericho. Rabin and Arafat signed the agreement on September 13, 1993. The difficulty of making the agreement work was demonstrated by the assassination of Rabin in 1995. He was killed by a right-wing Jewish extremist who opposed concessions to the Palestinian. Rabin was succeeded as prime minister by Benjamin Netanyahu, who had opposed the Oslo Accords. Still, Netanyahu made efforts to keep to the agreement. In January 1997, Netanyahu met with Arafat to work out plans for a partial Israeli withdrawal from the West Bank. Peace slips away. In 1999, the slow and difficult peace negotiations between Israel and the Palestinians seemed to get a boost. Ehud Barak won election as Israeli prime minister. Many observers viewed him as a much stronger supporter of the peace plan than Netanyahu had been. The world community, led by the United States, was determined to take advantage of such a development. In July of 2000, U.S. President Bill Clinton hosted a 15-day summit meeting at Camp David between Ehud Barak and Yasser Arafat. The two men, however, could not reach a compromise, and the peace plan once again stalled. Just 2 months later, an Israeli political leader, Ariel Sharon, visited a Jewish holy place, the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. The Temple Mount is also the location of one of the most holy places for Muslims, the Dome of the Rock. Sharon's visit to the vicinity of such a revered Muslim site outraged Palestinians. Riots broke out and a second intifada was launched. The conflict intensifies. The second intifada began much like the first, with demonstrations, attack on Israeli soldiers, and rock throwing by unarmed teenagers. But this time, the Palestinian militant groups began using a new weapon, suicide bombers. Their attacks on Jewish settlements in occupied territories and on civilian locations throughout Israel significantly raised the level of bloodshed. In the first 17 months of the uprising, one Israeli died for every three Palestinians, a rate much higher than during the first intifada. In response to the uprising, Israeli forces moved into Palestinian refugee camps and clamped down on militants. Troops destroyed buildings in which they suspected extremists were hiding and bulldozed entire areas of Palestinian towns and camps. An Israeli army even bombed Arafat's headquarters, trapping him inside his compound for many days. In recent years, peace between these two bitter enemies has seemed further away than ever. In 2001, Ariel Sharon was elected Israeli prime minister. A former military leader, Sharon refused to negotiate with the Palestinians until the attacks on Israelis stopped. Meanwhile, relations between Yasser Arafat and Israeli leaders grew so strained that Israeli officials declared they no longer would meet with the long-term leader of the PLO. Working toward a solution. Despite of all this, peace efforts continue. Under intense pressure from the world community, Arafat agreed to take a less prominent role in peace talks with Israel. In 2003, Palestinian leaders appointed their first ever prime minister, high-ranking PLO official Mahmoud Abbas. In his new position, Abbas became the main negotiator for the Palestinian side. Shortly afterwards, U.S. President George W. Bush brought together Sharon and Abbas to begin working on a new peace plan known as the Roadmap. The two men appeared committed to reaching an agreement. Abbas declared, "Our goal is two states, Israel and Palestine, living side by side in peace and security." Meanwhile, Sharon expressed his desire to see Palestinians govern themselves in their own state. To be sure, many divisive issues remain between the two groups. With leaders from both sides willing to work together, however, hope remains that harmony will one day come to this region.